This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
It's on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Are zippers game changers and are area rugs game changers? The idea that it has been 50-something degrees in South Florida for 4 days, that's our winter.
Oh, it's killing me. It is our winter.
I want to get back to, now that we have, I'm guessing, expunged our need to talk about zippers and area rugs, or do you guys have more on these subjects?
Well, I would say if you're going to go area rug, you want to go color. Don't go safe with the area rug. You could always return it. Get a new one. Take a chance. Get a nice little cover. Add a little flavor to your living room.
I totally agree. And I would only add this. Zippers are a dangerous game. They are. They're a very dangerous game.
Only in one place, right? There's only one place. It's the something about Mary. There's only one place where the zipper is a dangerous game, correct?
The place you don't want it to be, yes.
Yes, that's correct. not the place that Billy's talking about, because of all the fears, I want you guys to sort of understand in a pandemic, as everyone's a little fearful and filled and covered in anxiety, that Billy's, one of his chief concerns are his keys falling off his, out of his pocket on a roller coaster he's not allowed to go on, because I can't imagine that you're going to a whole lot of amusement parks or theme parks and riding roller coasters during a pandemic. My guess is that you're being more careful about this than any of us on this show, that there is no, I mean, you just told us the other day you put hand sanitizer on your dog after someone pet him.
Damn, Skippy, I'm being safe. Better safe than sorry, as they say. And I'm not using hand sanitizer. I know what you're doing. I use a wipe, and it's a dog wipe, so it's made for his coat particularly. But when I go back to roller coasters, I'm telling you, the zipper shorts are the absolute best. And if you guys don't think that zippers are game changers, then ask the button how it's doing on pants nowadays, because it doesn't exist anymore, okay? There's one top button, and it's a little pity button, because it's like, oh, you know, the old timer, he did a lot for pant technology. We can still put one button on pants, but they don't do the buttons down fly anymore. And if you have a button down fly, get out of here and don't talk to me.
You zip it up, Dan.
Oh, for the love of God. I mean, honestly, you thought that was a good joke when you told Mike it during... You laughed at that joke when you told Mike that joke 10 seconds ago, interrupting my thought. Mike brushed you off. Like, I thought it was clear you were not going to go to the zip it, the lazy... You didn't even deliver it with any enthusiasm. Like, you just delivered zip it up, just totally bored.
Get off my back, Jack.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Jack. Imagine a backpack without a zipper nowadays. Zippers also change the backpack game. The only other thing you see on backpacks that isn't a zipper is that weird like pull thing at the top. And that's not even a backpack in my books. That's more of a pouch. Take it to the bank.
Wow. Jack. Okay. Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. A guy who says take it to the bank, jerk or no jerk.
No jerk.
And why do you guys think I would be cooler as Jack Le Batard? Someone explain to me why it is you guys think.
Oh, you caught on to what we're doing.
No, you guys are super sneaky. Damn, you're so subtle. You guys are so subtle the way you do things. I would never guess. I mean, Stugatz said zip it up 14 seconds before he delivered the line here, and I could hear in the audience him laughing at his own joke that he had only told Mike in the other studio there. Zip it up. And then he just stepped on the line that I was trying to get out because he had to get in there. Because I assumed once Mike rejected your zip it up joke that you weren't going to actually try to go on air with it.
It was an early rejection, Jack. And then he gave me the go ahead, the nod to move forward with it. Does someone want to tell Dan about Jack Eagle? I mean, does anyone want to tell him about it?
Dan, we discovered during the big suey that Ian Eagle, who we were making the hypothesis has the greatest broadcaster name ever. I mean, when have you ever met an eagle? And then we discovered Ian Eagle, who doesn't go by Ian Eagle for whatever reason, his dad was Jack Eagle. Has to be the greatest name I've ever heard in my entire life.
And I don't want to go into reruns because we plowed this path before, but I'm not sure that his name's Ian Eagle. I think it might be Ian Eagle, and he just did the switcheroo to make his name sound cooler.
Can we call somebody who knows? Because I've always thought
Ian Eagle.
I've always thought that Ian Eagle is a fake name. I've always thought that that's a pseudonym.
I texted the bird to see if he wanted to come on and discuss it. But we were also talking about how Jack just makes any name cooler. Like, Jack Lebatard is so much cool. You're cool.
So much
cool. But Jack Lebatard is cooler than Dan Lebatard, is it not?
I mean, I don't know. Chris Jericho was Jack Action, and we laugh at him about that.
That's a great name.
I think it's an incredible name. I think he made a mistake by going by Chris Jericho, quite honestly. I think Jack Action is right up there with Hulk Hogan.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Jack Lebatard a cooler name than Dan Lebatard? Also, Roy, why are you pestering me with something about Mary? Why are you telling me that it annoys you that I don't put the theirs in front of something about Mary?
Well, first of all, Jack Collinsworth, that's a good Jack name. And second of all, it's There's Something About Mary. That's the name of the movie. You keep saying it's something about Mary. It's There's Something About Mary. Get the title right.
So Jack Harden.
Get the title right, Jack. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Just There's Something About Mary or Something About Mary. That is the most famous zipper scene in the history of the movies, right? Nobody will be able to top that if I ask you ever in the history of cinema a zipper scene that is more memorable than There's Something About Mary.
What's second?
I don't know.
Is it Beetlejuice? I think it's Winona Ryder tries to say it's Gina Davis. Someone tries to say Beetlejuice, and Michael Keaton throws a zipper on her mouth, but she finds a way to open it.
I have no earthly idea what the answer to my question is. I want to get back to James Harden. Unfortunately, I'm out of time.
Don Lebatard, the Deeks.
What are you doing?
It's their name.
The Demon Deacons.
Yep. The Deeks.
Stugats.
Nobody calls them the Deeks.
Everyone calls them the Deeks.
Who calls them the Deeks?
Everyone.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
So one of the craziest things that we've seen in sports, and if you know Richard Williams and his reputation, people are confused at how a father who appeared to be loud and overbearing was able to help make two girls from Compton into some of the best tennis players ever. The idea that Venus Williams would emerge from a womb and not be the best tennis player to emerge from that womb is a bit crazy. Archie Manning is being written about by Wright Thompson, who's going to join us in 15 minutes. And when I ask you the question, Stugatz, because Archie Manning was a quarterback who learned while he was very good, the Saints were not. He orchestrated Eli Manning not going to what he thought was a bad franchise and got Eli Manning to the New York Giants. But you've got Peyton Manning, Archie Manning, you've got Eli Manning, and now people are saying that the high school Manning, okay, a grandson of Archie Manning, might be the best of the bunch, which seems impossible when you consider how great Peyton Manning's career was. But when I ask you, in the history of football, I guess at that position I would start, who's second place? Is it the Cars? In terms of producing an unbelievable talent at a position that is damn hard to play, the idea that Peyton and Eli Manning exist, and now that Archie Manning's grandson, like the idea that there would be a quarterbacking lineage passed down like an heirloom, hand-me-down through the family is just, like, who's second place? Is it indeed Derek and David Carr? I'm just doing this off the top of my head, marveling at the idea that these people have been in front of us for this long, and it doesn't make any sense that one family would have the quarterback chromosome.
Same sport? I'll go Dan McGuire and Mark McGuire, Dano.
Oh, wow.
Jacko.
Is that third? Is that after David and Derek Carr third on the list? Is the McGuires?
Well, if we're going all sports, then the Ball family would like a word. Jack.
That is also amazing, actually. That
two lottery picks? It's insane.
Insane. Insane. And the grandson's supposed to be better. His name's Arch, by the way. Arch Manning. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, if we're going on different sports, got to talk about the Boones and the Griffies as well. Don't get that.
I mean, sticking with the quarterbacks, one of my favorite, you know, things to eat, the Greasies.
Yes,
the Watt brothers.
The Watt brothers?
The Watt brothers.
Oh, that's a great one.
A good one. That is a good one.
They might have another defensive player of the year named Watt, not JJ. Yeah. That's crazy.
How are we doing with Bosa's? Because the father
Bosa's
was
great.
Bosa's are great. Are you looking for the first family of sports?
How about this? Popeye Jones and Seth Jones.
Mm.
That's a good one. I like that.
Well, I don't think that it's good because Seth is a hockey player of great repute, but Popeye was not much of a basketball player.
I'm trying to find just quarterbacks, the Hasselbacks.
Not bad.
Would you guys, are the Hasselbacks better than the Cars?
I mean, Matt Hasselbeck played in the Super Bowl.
That's the measurement for Stugatz always. Not how good were they. So did Trent Dilfer, and he won one. But
Matthew Hasselbeck was a very good quarterback. I'm not saying that Tim wasn't, but Matthew Hasselbeck was a very, very good quarterback.
The Sims.
Do you think a lot of people could get away with the name Popeye? Do you think I would be cooler if I was Popeye Lebatard instead of Jack Lebatard? Because we just skate past the idea that Popeye Jones is a person who exists, that parents a while ago decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to name my kid Popeye. I'm not going to see that kid made fun of at school at all when he ends up getting older, because Popeye does not seem like a name you should be giving a kid.
Man, there have been a lot of Matthews that played offensive line. The Matthews family's.
That's a great one. Yeah, play.
They've got a Hall of Famer or two Hall of Famers along the Matthews family lineage of offensive linemen?
Well, Bruce is going to be one. Jake Matthews was all right. Clay Matthews has a borderline Hall of Fame career as an edge rusher in the NFL.
Popeye's real name is Ron.
Okay, so his name's not Popeye. All right, it was a nickname. That's too bad. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you know that Popeye Jones's real name was Ron? Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate it. So Reich Thompson is going to join us to talk about the story he did on Archie Manning.
Kyle and Mike Shanahan.
I want to ask the audience if it is bothered in any way, Stugatz, because we have been talking about Craig Carton and his story.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with it, he's a bombastic New York radio host who had a gambling problem and went to jail for a while because he was doing felonious things with money. And now he is back on WFAN, and not only back, but about to host a responsible gambling show brought to you by 1-800-GAMBLER. And that makes me think pretty immediately, wow, this is a gross business. This business is unspeakably dirty. That does not feel in any way right. It's a felon. And I'm all for American second chances, but a gambling show with someone who's got a gambling addiction? Like with an addiction. And I've seen it before because Sid Rosenberg was doing that. And I'm like, how can radio do stuff like that when you've got somebody who's got an addiction problem? And I understand, okay, that it's nice message to be a responsible gambler. But as everyone gets in the gambling business, does it not make you a little queasy? The idea that a host would get a second chance after a felony and then be used on Saturday afternoons to talk about gambling in a way, responsible gambling, in a way that perhaps teaches people about the warnings and the lessons, but is still a gambling show hosted by a convicted gambling felon.
I'm torn on all of this because he served his time. He's out. He's free to work. He's very good. He's very good at doing this. I get choked up when I talk about Craig and WFAM. He is very good at doing this. And the gambling show, I understand exactly what it is you're saying.
Very good at doing what?
He's very good at hosting radio shows, which is why he got rehired. But the gambling show is supposed to help people with gambling addiction. I mean, you could call it. So I'm torn on it. While I understand what you're saying, I'm not certain that's the right thing for Craig to be doing.
Well, right? How far is he from just picking games against the spread? And how do you feel about that if that is something that is in play?
Well, he's gone out of his way to say he's not going to pick games against the spread. And when they do talk gambling, he doesn't even want to be in the studio for it. So maybe this is a way for him to talk about his experience and try to help some people out. I have no idea.
You know what he should be doing? What Bruce Drennan did. Bruce Drennan, legendary Cleveland sports personality, got pinched by the feds for his sports gambling and tax evasion. You know what he did? He returned after serving his time with a show called All Bets Are Off.
So it doesn't make anybody, it doesn't make anyone say, sort of just pause for a little bit about the idea that there's a second chance in a major market. It's hard to get into this business and make a career of it when you're not a convicted felon.
Well, no, it's just a lot easier when you're white, Dan.
There is that. There is the idea.
Not I want a lot of black Sid Rosenbergs in this industry.
Go ahead and imagine that, people. Convicted felon black guy doing a responsible gambling show in a major market as a second chance after a felony. Go ahead. I'll give you the rest of all of our time to come up with the example of the guy who gets that second chance in that way who isn't white.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
There might be a few isolated incidences here or there, but it's just something that commonly, you know, why people get second chances in this industry a little bit more often.
And first chances. I would give the benefit of the doubt. I would extend the benefit of the doubt to maybe he is 100% purely trying to do something to help people overcome something that's difficult and a mistake. If I did not know how gross this business is. Advance Auto Parts, Dugat.
I would say throwing someone back into this business with those kind of addictions is the problem, right?
I mean,
this business is hard.
I would say to you that it's a little difficult to take someone who is, say, a heroin addict and put him on a heroin talk station and have him close to heroin at all times and people with expertise about heroin while talking into a microphone about heroin and the dangers of heroin after being convicted for heroin.
What about the Jones family? Bones Jones and Chandler Jones. Or, also combat sports, Jake and Logan Paul.
Wow.
Don Levitard.
People have told me before, when I was younger, that I looked like George Clooney. I'm serious. When I was younger.
Stugatz.
You have a booger in your right nostril.
So does Clooney.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
We will get to Christine Lisi in a second. Hopefully, we will find Wright Thompson. We have misplaced him for the moment. But before we do that, everybody during the break was wondering what the family Thanksgiving looks like at the Matthews house. When you're talking all those
gotta be glorious
offensive linemen, what's the over under on bowls of mashed potatoes, giant bowls of mashed potatoes at the Matthews family Thanksgiving of offensive linemen? The Golics have to be somewhat similar, do they not? Even though that they're just a father and son team, the Golics have to just annihilate some bowls of mashed potatoes.
Well, there's also Jake Golic, who played at University of Cincinnati. And so, yes, I imagine the Golic Thanksgiving to be
glorious. Is there a scarier Thanksgiving that you can imagine than the one in the Matthews household when it in terms of just sheer consumption of mashed potatoes? Is there anyone hypothetically that you can think of more than the Hall of Fame Matthews offensive line family?
Now, they definitely have three large bowls of mashed potatoes. I'm trying to figure out whether it's two fully loaded ones with all the cheese and the bacon bits and then one just classic mashed potatoes, or whether all three of them are just fully loaded with the bacon, cheese, and all that stuff. I feel like they have to have at least one of the three bowls, just good old-fashioned plain mashed potatoes.
Let's go out here to Christine Lisi and the Kazoos.
And finally, blue-eyed people tend to have a higher tolerance for alcohol than those with darker eyes.
Really?
Hmm.
What sense does that make? Oh. Okay. That doesn't make any sense. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show.
Do we ever make sense?
No, well, not very much. Yeah. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did you know that blue-eyed people have a higher tolerance for alcohol? The Long family, put this on the poll as well, at Levitard Show. More mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving, the Matthews family or the Long family? Because you got Chris, you got Jake, you got Howie.
And put the Watt family in there, too.
And put the Watt family in there, too, while we're at it.
And you have Grant. long.
Well, you, first of all, did you think I didn't get the joke the first time that you made it? Second of all,
you're mentioning
an obscure Miami Heat player from the 1980s. Maybe from 1988 is what you just did, expecting people to get the Grant Long joke you just made.
Oh, they got it.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Okay.
The question is, did you?
All right. All right. No, I didn't get it at all. Please explain it to me.
You know, long, Grant Long, Howie Long, Chris Long. They all have the same last name. But one is not like the other. I mean, you got it?
You got that right.
He gets it. I mean.
There are so few people in our audience who know who Grant Long is. So few.
But those couple,
Tony,
they liked it.
Tony, you live in Miami. You've lived in Miami all your life. Do you have any idea who Grant Long is?
No, Dan, I have no idea who Grant Long is.
All right. Thank you, Stugatz, for making that. Stugatz is just, this is why he wants $1 million on Cameo.
Yep.
This is what this to talk to you about Grant Long. You could give him $100 and Stugatz will tell you all about Grant Long. Did you see Stugatz? The owner of Cameo has declared in 2020 the winner of Cameo's most profitable celebrity. The person being requested the most often on Cameo has made more than $1 million.
Really? Wow. I do not know who that person is. That's a lot of money. I know who the winner next year is going to be. I mean,
the person's name is Brian Baumgartner.
Right.
Which I'm guessing you don't know who that is, correct?
No idea.
He is Kevin from The Office. I'm guessing you don't know that either, right?
I never really got into The Office that much, to be honest.
All right. He's one of the accountants for Dunder Mifflin, and he somehow did better than anyone on Cameo, which I was startled by and makes me think that Stugatz might indeed break the record because I am startled that that is more than $1 million in Cameo appearances. That I did not have that being the... Didn't Tiki Barber try to do something like this before Cameo? Right before Cameo, wasn't Tiki Barber in this game trying to create a business similar to what Cameo is, where you could have access to athletes? I seem to remember that, but am I making it up?
No, I think he was. I'm not certain it was exactly what Cameo was or what Cameo turned into. Cameo is an amazing company. I'll look up Tiki in a second, where Time Magazine named it one of the 50 or 100 great companies, new companies in America. Like, it's a really well-run company, so... I look forward to making seven figures, and that guy is not going back to back. I can tell you that right now.
You remember the Grant Long fight in the playoffs? It was an all-out brawl between the Heat and Hawks. I've just been watching that video. It's a legit fight.
Oh, well, isn't that the source of that Atlanta Hawks broadcaster? No, I know that that's not the fight that he was talking about, but I'm saying that that guy was around throughout all the history of Atlanta and Miami basketball, and so he accused the Miami Heat of thuggery, and he's an Atlanta Hawks broadcaster, and I thought it started with that Grant Long fight that you're talking about. Was John Konkak? I think John Konkak was involved in that fight.
I know Mookie Blaylock was in the middle of this thing, too.
All right, find me the Atlanta Hawks broadcaster who just went crazy on, was it Udonis Haslam that he was going after? But he accused the Miami Heat with loaded language of thuggery.
Courtesy Hawks Radio Network.
Now down low, it's going to be Al Horford. He drives. He goes up and gets knocked out hard. Oh, my goodness. The Heat have resorted to thuggery. And Al Horford slow to get up. Miami, they're down by 19, and they have to resort to the street stuff. That should be a flagrant foul. These Miami Heat players are street thugs.
It's as funny as racism can be.
We made that guy a friend of the show.
It's just, play it again because his cadence is just so marvelous.
Now down low, it's going to be Al Horford. He drives. He goes up and gets knocked out hard. Oh, my goodness. The Heat have resorted to thuggery. And Al Horford slow to get up. Miami, They're down by 19, and they have to resort to the street stuff. That should be a flagrant foul. These Miami Heat players are street thugs.
He's just indignant. He should absolutely be delivering all that with a powdered wig, just trying for order in Parliament, but just the street thugs will not allow him to have his beloved order. I'll tell you who was a street thug last night. Jeff Collins. I can't believe the pandemic has arrived in such a sad place that I'm talking about Georgia Tech Pittsburgh football, but I would not want problems. I would not want problems with Pat Narduzzi. Would you? Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitar Show. Would you want problems with Pat Narduzzi because Jeff Collins gave him a flimsy fish handshake and then ran off? Georgia Tech is so bad. I wonder why you can't win with the players who were recruited for an option offense trying to run another offense.
It's going to take a minute to rebuild.
give him a couple of years.
He was sitting there trying to beat everybody 3 yards at a time with a horse and wagon offense from the 1800s. And so Georgia Tech is terrible, and their coach couldn't get off the field any faster last night. Did you see the handshake? It was just running away from him, and Narduzzi just seized the hand. Like, Narduzzi wouldn't let it go, and you know he's got a meaty vice grip.
That's what Narduzzi does.
Yes, you know, I imagine that his hand, the end of his hand is just a wrench that he just grabs onto you and squeezes, and you can't go anywhere. And so Jeff Collins is trying to run away, but his arm seems to be stretching because his fish hand is stuck in Narduzzi's wrench-like claw.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
You think Narduzzi has ever just had an arm in his hand?
Just an arm, yes. Beware the Narduzzi talon.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. John Michael Periton at JM Periton 13 brings up another famous football family. Look into the Booties lineage. At Josh Booty 10 and at John David Booty were great quarterbacks, as was their father, Johnny Booty. And if it wasn't enough for Jerry DiNardo's gaffe at LSU's head coach, their brother Abraham would have gone pro too. I'd rather not look into the lineage of the Booty family, to be quite honest with you. And I'm not going to. Unless there's a Jack Booty, then I'm all over it.
All right, look into the Booties. Go ahead and look into the Booties. Like that is you just named bad quarterback after bad quarterback is all you did. We were talking about Archie Manning and Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and the high school son Arch Manning, and I believe you gave me a bunch of names there that have not thrown a professional pass.
Well, I didn't. Someone from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation did.
Okay, but perhaps the sponsor doesn't want to be affiliated with such a bad tweet. And perhaps you shouldn't read such a bad tweet because the Booties are not the Mannings.
Has anyone ever looked into the Booty lineage?
I don't believe the Booty lineage has been looked into in any great depth. Speaking of players who have not done very much in the pros, did you see the graphic last night of Patriots wide receivers drafted? Because it is the fairest and most damning indictment of Bill Belichick, larger than even how fruitless his coaching tree is. The skill position guys, the Patriots have failed at drafting skill position players. And if Tom Brady were still there, he would be dead. He would be a dead person. In the backfield, there would be one day where he dropped back to pass and so many people would land on him that he would be dead. They're going to break what's left of Cam Newton because they don't have any skill position help there. And he's not the same quarterback. But Tom Brady, with that, we saw it toward the end of last season. But when you look at these names since 2010 that were drafted, because it's a graphic on Rams Patriots last night, tell me how many catches you guys imagine. I haven't looked this up. But Taylor Price, Jeremy Ebert, Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce, Jeremy Gallen, Malcolm Mitchell, Devin Lucian, Braxton Berrios, and then Harry was a first-round pick last year. That's amazingly bad.
Really bad.
Bill Belichick, unless it's Randy Moss, doesn't know what a wide receiver looks like. He thinks they're all small number 80s who are white. Like, he doesn't know. There's a huge blind spot. Belichick does not know what a wide receiver looks like. He's a genius in every other way, but there's a short circuiting in the system where, unless it's Randy Moss, he doesn't know what a wide receiver is supposed to look like.
You think he know because of how good the offense was with Randy Moss. You would think that he would remember that, but he never won a Super Bowl with Moss. He won it with a bunch of Edelman.
What a bad combination to have a bad offensive line and wide receivers, bad wide receivers. It makes it for what you saw last night, which is good luck with Aaron Donald.
We were discussing this during the local hour. The fact that Bill Belichick is afraid to use him. He's afraid to let him throw further than 25 yards. I mean, Cam Newton has played 12 games this year and has thrown for 5 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. He might be the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, Carson Wentz is that, but they don't trust... In general, they don't trust anything there other than just please run the ball. And it's got to be excruciating for Patriots fans to watch that after 2 decades of Tom Brady. Because I believe in the last 3 games, Cam Newton has thrown for fewer yards than Tom Brady has thrown in the last 3 quarters. I think that stat is right. Something like that, if it's not exactly right. The offensive line... I want you to imagine just a giant mountain of rubble wearing a Brady uniform because I don't know how else to say this other than he'd be dead right now.